When I was around 7 years old, my father took a job that required he work out of town during the week. That meant I only got to see him on the weekends. We had just moved from the United States to Nigeria at the time, and I was sick with longing for the familiar, and I was struggling a bit to get used to life there. I'm not sure exactly when my father decided to do this, but he started to bring a comic book home for me every weekend. And that started a lifelong affinity for me for superheroes. So I feel very in touch with the graphic design we have for our series, the shirt being pulled open, because my favorite was Superman, of course. And it was quickly followed by Wonder Woman, and then the X-Men, and then, of course, the very wisecracking but friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. On our first date, Sean and I discovered that we both had a mutual love for superheroes. And the night before our wedding, the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire was opening that night before our wedding at midnight. Did we go see it? You better believe we did. The clue to why I love superheroes so much is in their name, right? Superhero. They're heroes. And they stand usually for good and fight evil. They use their power to change a potentially negative outcome into a positive one. In my young mind, superheroes were a fun, colorful, visual representation of how God intervenes on behalf of the weak and the powerless. So I used to dream that I could be a superhero. Sometimes I would even pray for superpowers, but I don't think I'm the only one. I'm looking at all of you. Maybe you used to hope for superpowers when you were young, or maybe you grew up with a much more practical perspective on life and you weren't really into science fiction or fantasy, and that's okay, I won't judge. But maybe instead of superheroes, you dreamt of becoming a firefighter or of becoming a police officer. Perhaps you dreamt about being a teacher or a pastor. Maybe you wanted to be a business person whose product or service helped to solve an important problem that people had. Or maybe you wanted to be a scientist or a medical professional who helped to prevent or reverse disease. Maybe you dreamt of creating beauty through all the various forms of art that we have, beauty that stirs the human emotion and elevates the human condition. Maybe you dreamed of growing up to be just like your mom or your dad because they were heroes to you. Or maybe you dreamed about being better parents than the ones that you had. It doesn't matter what the thrust of your dreams were, and whether you are young or whether you are old. Should have tested this out earlier. Everyone. Absolutely everyone longs to be a difference maker. There's a hero inside each of us that is always longing to be set free, and that longing has been placed in us by God. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And if you do not have a Bible handy, I'll put it up on the screen for you. God's word says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God had prepared in advance for us to do. If you look again and turn into your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In in verses 16 and 17, we hear that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, when God designed you and me, as he took his time to knit us together in the womb, he designed us intentionally to be contributors. The desire to make a difference has been hardwired into each of us by our Creator. We were made to do good. We were made to be difference makers. And we long, therefore, to be difference makers. In his book, The Search for Significance, author Robert McGee quotes Christian psychologist Lawrence J. Crabb Jr., who describes our need in this way. The basic personal need of each person is to regard himself as a worthwhile human being. McGee also goes on to add that the need to believe we are significant is the driving element within the human spirit. Understanding this single need opens the door to understanding our actions and attitudes. Everyone, you, me, we all long to be difference makers. Part of the good news with that is that if God has created us to make a difference, and he's created the longing within us to make a difference, then that means that everyone gets to be a difference maker. Absolutely everyone. However, we don't have to look too hard to recognize that not everyone chooses to make a positive difference in the lives of other people. Instead of being the hero, some people choose to be the villain in the story, right? They just spread fear and destruction in their wake instead of planting seeds of joy and of peace. And then there are some of us who we want to make a positive difference, but we feel a bit frozen by indecision. Maybe we're a little afraid. Sometimes we feel like we don't have anything to offer, and we're just not sure how to make a difference. We feel hopelessly insecure, and even though our very presence, the fact that we are alive, means we are here to make a difference, somehow we just struggle to see it. And we just can't seem to believe it. One of the passions of Christian and best-selling author Andy Andrews is helping people to see that their lives matter. And some of what I'm about to share with you is from a presentation I heard him give, oh gosh, many, many years ago, but it really stuck with me. Because our lives include the sum of all the actions that we take. And those actions, they matter. And they make a difference more than we might acknowledge or even understand. This is a picture of a man named Norman Borlaug. I don't know if anybody here might be familiar with who he is, but he was a plant geneticist who was known for his work in developing a hybridized form of wheat that could grow in arid climates. And I thought that might really resonate with some of the farmers among us today. His work was estimated to have saved about 2 billion lives. Talk about being a hero. I mean, hands down, Norman Borlaug was a difference maker, right? Because he saved 2 billion people from starvation. That's pretty impressive. And so he's been given credit for this. In fact, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1970 for his contributions to the world's food supply. Pretty impressive. But should Norman really be the one who gets credit for saving 2 billion lives? Maybe the person who really should get the credit is this gentleman. This is a picture of a man named Henry Wallace, and he was the 33rd Vice President of the United States under Truman. Before that, he was the former Secretary of Agriculture. You see, Henry Wallace was the person responsible for pulling together the money and all the funding for the project that hired Norman Borlaug to be its plant geneticist. So maybe Henry Wallace should be the person who gets the credit for saving 2 billion lives. Unless, maybe the credit should go to this man. This is a picture of George Washington Carver, famous scientist who came up with a myriad of ways to use the peanut, the sweet potato, go figure, of all the things. But at a time when receiving a quality education as a black person was fraught with incredible hardship, he pursued his passion for education and for science relentlessly. He ended up attending Iowa State University, which was called Iowa State Agricultural College at the time. And he had a dairy sciences professor who had a lot of kids. And so he would often let George hang out with his six-year-old son. So basically, you know, when he wasn't in class, George was basically a glorified babysitter for his dairy sciences professor. But he took this six-year-old boy, spent time with him, and then they went on botanical expeditions. And, you know, went in the woods and looked at plants, and George gave this young six-year-old Henry Wallace a vision for what plants could do for mankind. So maybe George should be the one who gets the credit for saving 2 billion lives. Unless, anybody guess where I'm going with this? Maybe it should be this man. This was a German-American settler born in 1812 who homesteaded in Missouri at a time when Missouri was still a slave state. He owned a slave family that helped him on his farm, but one night his farm was raided, and these raiders stole a mother and her young son. Moses determined to get his slaves back, so he arranged a situation to make an exchange with the raiders. So he gave them a horse. They were supposed to return his slaves to him. Well, he got back the infant son, but the mother was never heard from or seen again. After slavery was abolished, only like a few years afterward, maybe 2-3 years after this event, Moses Carver and his wife Susan decided to adopt young George and his older brother James and raise them as their own sons. So maybe Moses Carver should be the one to get credit, because it was that decision to act and to rescue George and his mother that over a century and a half later, Norman Borlaug could be at a lab in Mexico City trying to figure out a way to hybridize wheat for arid climates, which would then go on to save the lives of 2 billion people. Unless, I'm glad somebody laughed. We could go on forever, couldn't we? I mean, how far back could we go to figure out whose action, at what time, at what point in history was the action that ended up saving 2 billion lives, the number which continues to grow exponentially even as we're talking about it? Because those people have gone on to have children and have grandchildren and so on. And I think the point of this story is that every action that you take, every action that I take, it has an effect. It produces some kind of result. And since that is the case, then everything you do, everything I do, matters. And if it matters, then it makes a difference. There are generations that are yet unborn whose very lives will be shaped and shifted by the actions that you take, or the actions that I take today, tomorrow, and the next day. That is how important our lives are. Every one of us gets to be a difference maker. The only question is, are you taking actions that make a difference for the good of others? Or are your actions all about serving yourself? See, God did not only create every single one of us to do good, He has also given each of us our very own combination, our very own special combination of superpowers. When we read it in the Bible, we call them gifts, right? He gives us gifts. Sometimes we talk about them as talents or abilities. He blends some of those gifts into our very DNA, and some He gives to us as we learn to walk closely with Him. Some things we have a natural aptitude for, and some things we develop and we grow into as the Holy Spirit does His work in us. And regardless of what the specifics of your gifts are, they haven't been given to you only for your own enjoyment. Would you like some proof about that? Would you like some proof? No, it's not a rhetorical question. Okay. Well, then let's look in the scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So we even see through the scripture here, we are stewards of the gifts and talents we have been given. Our gifts do not belong only to us, nor are they to be used only for our own benefit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Adam used this scripture when we opened our series, but I thought it was worth using again. Because here we learn that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Okay, so also we see here that the word says that our gifts are given to us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's for everybody. And I think I just, there we go. Split into two screens. Yeah, so we are given these gifts for the common good. They're for everybody. They're not just for you. And you might be wondering at this point, do I have to do something large to make a difference? Do I need to make this big splashy impact in order for my contribution to count? And in our hyper-connected world of social media influencers, it is so tempting to think that the only way to make a difference is by doing something really big and splashy. Maybe, on the other hand, you're the kind of person you like to fly under the radar, and all this talking about making a difference feels like a recipe for pride and just too much pressure. I got you. But if everything we do matters, as in it produces some kind of result, then the important part isn't whether your particular action at any given time creates a huge splash or if it makes a very small ripple. What is important is to, in faith, focus on the next right action instead of trying to measure your impact. See, we are dearly beloved children of God, and so we live by faith, not by sight. We don't have to obsess about all the outcomes because we have confidence that God is working all the details out for the good of his people. We look to Jesus, who is the ultimate hero, our ultimate hero, because he has already stepped in and changed the outcome for all of us. We were the walking dead, and he took decisive action to change our course and restore us to life. He has already made the biggest difference possible. So what that means for us is that all we have to do is, in faith, focus on taking the next right action. When Moses chose to rescue George, he had no idea that that decision would be a part of a chain of events that would lead to saving billions from starvation. He could have never known that. In the scripture that Adam read for us this morning in James, when Rahab chose to hide those Hebrew spies, there was no way she could have known that she would end up in the lineage of Jesus. When Abraham decided to put his trust in God and leave his home behind, he had no idea that on a Sunday in August, in the year 2022, that we would be here singing praises to the same God that spoke to him so, so long ago. He could have never foreseen that. And even Jesus tells us in his story of the Good Samaritan about how our actions can change someone's future. Each of us longs to be a difference maker, and because of the way God has made us, each one of us gets to be a difference maker. It's just a matter of whether we're making a difference for good or not. As God's children and representatives, we don't have to worry about measuring the exact amount of impact that we are making, the exact amount of difference we are making. And just like our scripture reading from this morning, our faith and our actions, they work together, and our faith is completed by what we do. When we started the series, Adam helped us to see that even though we'll care about a lot of things, we're actually going to do something about a few things. And then Amanda helped us to see how important encouragement is and how we can each do our part to give one another courage as we do our few things. And then last week, Alan Robinson showed us how God is weaving together a net with all of our lives and how important it is for us to hold our part of the net faithfully. And today, I hope that you understand that your contribution absolutely, absolutely matters and has an impact. Will you pray with me? Dearest Father, our awesome brother, Jesus, and wonderful, wonderful counselor, Holy Spirit, superheroes have nothing on you. Thank you for creating us to make a difference in the lives of others. For those who are already in living that call of making a difference, who are actively impacting others with their lives for good, we ask that you would strengthen them, help them to keep going, help them not to lose heart. For those of us who may be struggling to leave our comfort zones, encourage us. Help us to see that you've uniquely created us and gifted us to make a difference on behalf of others. Father, we ask that you would teach us how to love you with everything, everything that we have, and that we would continue to love our neighbors as well. In Jesus' name, amen.